All passengers flying with Global Air Force are now boarding at gate one.
And so, going back into Vietnam, I began to feel, and I'd look at Vietnam books at the bookstores, and I saw what's called the burning of Binh Suc. I kept feeling in my spirit, I did not know, but God was setting me up. And I kept feeling in my spirit that I want to go back to Binh Suc, and in my mind, I'll find someone official, tell me where the old boundaries of the village was then. I'll stand there and reminisce what it was like to walk out of the jungle a few days after I walked up on that bunker.
Now, here's your host, Dr. James F. Rowe.
Praise the Lord, it is another beautiful day. I'm so thankful you could tune us in today. I have guest, he's from yesterday, a part of a series, David Cordeau. He's been on the Sid Roth Show and been a Vietnam veteran. He was in the infantry. He's faced death many times. He's been a policeman in Beaumont, Texas. And he's in now in international ministry. He's been to Asia 19 times. If you're a veteran, you're going to want to hear this program today. He has a lot to say that'll help you if you're hurting today. Hi, David.
Hello, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great today.
Oh, thank you.
Great. I've been going to a couple of your meetings, and I see you're involved in healing and deliverance, I guess we would call that. You're
yes.
just involved in that? We'd like to know about that. Could you tell us something about the healing process?
Yes, we're involved in physical healings. We have seen thousands upon thousands healed. And some people were healed with an instant miracle. By that I mean, like, I pray for a cancer, it disappears in my hand. Some people we pray for, it looks like nothing happened, but within a couple weeks they're healed, and I call that divine healing.
Divine. Some are instantaneous?
And yes.
Some take a couple weeks.
Yes, most now are instantaneous.
Okay.
And then also, we've been involved in inner healing. As you mentioned, I'm a combat veteran from Vietnam. I was suffering greatly from post-traumatic stress syndrome. Unfortunately, when we came home, no one even mentioned to us what we had.
You were hard to live with, huh?
Yes, I was really wild.
What, like what?
Well, I was a heavy, heavy drinker, heavy smoker, a violent temper. I had a bad habit of getting mad and breaking windows out with my fists and out of houses, out of windshields, out of cars, and just really out of control for a while.
How'd your family take this?
Well, my wife, I thank God for a good wife. We were married at 18, right before I went to Vietnam. And she's glad when I got saved because I was very violent. Thank God I never touched her, hit her, never did that, even as a sinner. Praise God. But yet, she stuck with me, loved me, and I knew I must have been hard to live with. I had a very foul mouth, my language and cursing and heavy drinking. And I had post-traumatic stress syndrome that even after I got saved, before I got saved, firecrackers and stuff, I mean, I'd jump up in the air like a cat going in the air because I think somebody shot at me or slam a door or even come up, tap me on the shoulder with your finger. I'd turn around and try to swing at you, and most of the time I'd catch myself in time because I was always used to people trying to kill me. And really what that is fear.
Traumatic stress syndrome, then, is fear?
Yes, it's fear. We've been terrorized. People have been trying to kill us in the jungle. Later, I went into law enforcement and had some pretty heavy experiences there. And the thing is, after I got saved, I still had some. If I was sitting in a chair in my house and one of my children walked by and made a noise, I'd fly out of the chair like a cat. Now, a while back, my grown sons confessed to me, I have two sons and a daughter all grown, confessed to me they used to go through the house and stomp to just watch daddy jump out of the chair. and they didn't realize how bad that hurt me because I felt like I turned inside out. My whole body, my whole nervous system was just out of whack when that would happen. But they didn't realize that. But the thing is, one time, I was at the Brownsville Revival, and I was praying, worshiping and singing in a worship service. And suddenly this came to my mind. I said, wait a minute. And I never had looked at it as fear. I said, this is nothing but fear and terror. I've been terrorized in war. And I said, wait a minute. I said, God, you did not give me a spirit of fear, but faith, power, and a sound mind. I said, God, will you take this away from me? And I'll be honest, I totally forgot I prayed that prayer. A month or so later, I'm at home, and all of a sudden I told my wife, I don't jump anymore. She said, I noticed that, and God took it away.
That started with a prayer, and you quoted scripture in that prayer?
Yes, I told God, I said, Lord, I said, your word says you did not give me a spirit of fear, but faith, power, and a sound mind.
That's what you prayed,
and
it worked.
It worked, and he took it away from me. And I'll be honest, I forgot I prayed the prayer. But then, I was going into Vietnam doing international ministry, missionary evangelism. I've been back to Vietnam 16 times since the war. Altogether, Asia 19 times since the war. I worked Cambodia, Vietnam, and Philippines. Shortly be going into India and getting ready to go to Dominican Republic also. But the thing is, my first four trips was very, very painful. Because I had the memories of the war, and now that God has saved me, instead of hating everybody like I did before, I loved everyone. And I'd look around, and I'd see people with an arm missing, a leg missing. I think in my mind, and sometimes we'd be in a vehicle, I'd turn my head away so my wife and I'd see the tears in my eyes. I think, Lord, did I fire that shot? Did I throw that grenade that did this to this person? And I'd feel bad about it. And, I'm not proud of it, but before I turned 20 years old, see, I'd only been 19 for 6 weeks when I went into combat. By the time I turned 20, I could not tell you how many lives I took. I'm not proud of it all, but I thank God for his grace and his mercy and the blood of Jesus. But I begin to feel this guilt and stuff, and it's very painful. But about my fourth trip back to Vietnam, one time during the war, I walked up on a bunker in an enemy base camp. And this is one, like you get in the ground, they had a little bit above ground. This was the kitchen when they had a little cooking area in. And as I walked up, there were seven chickens walking in front of it.
Mm-hmm. Chickens?
Yeah, they carry their food live in the jungle. No freezers, no refrigerators.
Oh, interesting.
And they kill a chicken at a time. And I didn't think that seven chickens meant seven men.
Oh, my.
And I got 15 feet away by myself on this side of the base camp. And five of the seven men stood up on me. The one at the door actually smiled at me. I think made a terrified look on my face, And I remember the termite hill, which is like concrete or cone-shaped. And this is about 3.5 foot high, maybe a foot and a half, 2 feet wide at the bottom. And I dove behind that, and they began to fire. Dirt was flying everywhere. I was firing 15 feet away. It turned out it was seven men in the bunker. And my weapon jammed. I'd unjam it, kept firing, throw hand grenades I had. I had four. My friends caught up to me, and they began to throw it. They couldn't get right to me. They throw hand grenades at me. I'd pull the pin and throw them. I threw 12 hand grenades. Fired several hundred rounds of ammunition before I was not getting fire anymore. And went up there, and two of the men jumped out and went in another tunnel. They were wounded. One was shot through the arm. We captured them. And the other five men did not make it. And so going back into Vietnam, I began to feel, and I'd look at Vietnam books at the bookstores, and I saw what's called the burning of Binh Suc. And a few days after this happened at the bunker, we went to Binh Suc. It was an enemy village where the children and the elderly ladies, the older men of the fighters stayed. And we had them all airlifted out, and we burnt the village. Thank God I never saw a massacre, never was part of that. I thank God for that. But I kept feeling my spirit. I did not know, but God was setting me up. And I kept feeling in my spirit that I want to go back to Binh Suc. And in my mind, I'll find someone official, tell me where the old boundaries of the village was then. I'll stand there and reminisce what it was like to walk out of the jungle a few days after I walked up on that bunker. And God was setting me up. And through a Sissa village chief, they call a man that was a Viet Cong. And he was 50 meters from where I was fighting.
You met this man when yes. you went back. Uh-huh.
And he said he was 50 meters where I was fighting. He said, I know about those five men. At first, I thought he was just saying this, but he had details only he could. One thing, it turned out that after we left that day, he went there and he buried his five friends. And one, they were all 19 years old, the same age I was. One was a North Vietnamese soldier from Hanoi. Four of them was Viet Cong from the southern part where we were fighting at. And he buried them. And some of the cloth they were wearing, one of the shirts one of them was wearing that day, was sticking out of the ground. And somewhere I have a photo I never displayed, but I used to keep it in my desk. I don't know if I find it again now, but I was kneeling down holding that shirt the man wore the day I took his life. And I thought about it for a moment. I said, no, I don't want to bring this back. I don't want to bring this death back. But brother, as I stood at that bunker, and my wife was with me, and it's very hard for me to face some of these details, even after I've been saved for years. I was still hurting. I was not healed totally yet. Now I can talk freely. It does not bother me. Most veterans cannot say the things I just said because of the pain. And some veterans cannot even say the name Vietnam, cannot even utter the name. They hurt so bad. And my wife was with me, and it was hard for me because I had to face some so-called demons in my past with my wife there, and she had to hear details. And I stood at that grave, and I began to grieve as if those five men were my own sons, and I'd put them there. And suddenly the Spirit of Jesus rolled out of the jungle, came over me. He spoke to me so plain. He said, David, you forgave your enemies years ago, but you never loved them like I love my enemies. And that day I felt the love he had on the cross for those that nailed him to it. Later we went to the old bunker, paced off the 15 feet. Now in my office in New York, I have a sprout for the original termite hill and a little glass box to protect it. People look up and say, what is that piece of dirt? Let me tell you about that. Amen.
You are recovered now.
Yes.
Your whole attitude, your emotional experience is different now.
Yes. The people I once hate, I love with an intense love. And it's not out of guilt.
Well, how could somebody else get the same experience that you had? How can that happen?
The Lord would do it for them. That I know many veterans right now are suffering, not only from Vietnam War, but other wars, are suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome, just like I did.
Full of hate, you know, fear.
Hate, bitterness.
Bitterness.
I had such a desire to return to Vietnam to fight another year, but I would not put my young wife through that again because she had to sit there with her parents at home waiting to see if she'll get a knock on the door that her new husband is dead. We've been married now 44 years. I could not put that through her again, but I wanted to go back and fight till they were all dead or I was dead. I just had that kind of, you know, I just hate it. With an intensity I can't explain, but Vietnam veterans and other veterans from other wars are hurting, and I would be glad to pray for them.
And just like it worked for you, it can work for them.
Certainly.
Those of you that have this similar experience, I'd like David to pray for you. I'd like you to get ready to see what God can do for you. If he did it for David, why not you? And why not now? Please pray, Dave.
Yes, Lord, we pray for the veterans right now, Vietnam veterans, other war veterans. We command that fear, that spirit of fear, that spirit of terror comes out of them. Lord, you did not give us a spirit of fear, but faith, power, and a sound mind. God, you came to heal the brokenhearted, and they are brokenhearted, Lord, that we even learned that during the war that even Buddhist priest was in the caves cursing the American veterans that they would be wanderers and their marriages would fail and they could not keep a job, and many of them are like that today. And Lord, right now we command that pain to leave. Let the veterans forgive themselves and forgive others and quit holding animosity against their former enemy and even Hollywood figures that did wrong things during the war against and spoke against Americans. I've met, Lord, many American Vietnam veterans that are still very, very bitter against these people, these actresses that did this, and they need to release that, because when they are free, they can help free others. In the name of Jesus, I command the brokenhearted to be healed, pain to leave right now. Lord, I release the love of God you've given me for those I fought against and those I fought with. In the name of Jesus right now, and let them love them as you love those that nailed you to the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David, for being here. God bless you, my friend. Go with God.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
Thank you for flying with Global Air Force.